Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
We get to say hello to George Sedano, who is one of our absolute favorites here on 95.7 The Game. He was just in town. And, Georgie, I wish you would have let me know because I was there on Saturday night. I would have loved to come by and seen you. I know you're doing the game for radio after the fact, but I didn't know it the night of. It was a weird night at Chase Center, man. It was really weird. I don't know how many games you've gotten in there, George, but it was just an odd night. You could tell that there was an unplugging of star power with no LeBron, no Curry. And then everyone who was excited to maybe welcome back Gary Payton II wasn't even able to do that because of one of the weirder trades at the deadline. And it's just an odd night at Chase Center.
Yeah, it was an odd night. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And, you know, the game was certainly entertaining still. I don't think there was any question about that. But, yeah, it had a weird, eerie feel. I would have known you were there as well. I was there. I took my daughter, who, much to the chagrin of her mother, the Lakers fan, is a Warriors fan. So I took her with me on the trip, a little daddy-daughter trip, because my brother-in-law lives in the Bay Area. So Raymond Ritter was kind enough to get us a pair of tickets so he could go with his niece, my daughter. And we had a good time, me and Kalena calling the game. But, yeah, I just think with the Warriors, man, I don't, like, people just assumed, I guess, because they did okay and they treaded water without Steph the last go-around, that it would be similar. And I just don't know what to make of this team. I have a very poor read on what to make of this team, other than it never seems to be consistent in anything, really, from rotations to who's available, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's really nobody's fault other than just strange roster construction and just terrible timing on injuries.
What's the best casual theory that you've heard about them, even if it doesn't particularly fit the way you're looking at them? Does anybody have a theory as to why they are such a persistent hot mess and still in the thick of the Western Conference race?
Well, the theory I buy into is that basically Steve has had to coach two teams, where you've got the three elder statesmen who are used to playing a very high-paced style of basketball that even historically has been turnover-prone, while also coaching a squad of young guys that can't overcome said style of play. And they don't have the experience to do it, and they may not be capable from a talent perspective. They don't have those glue guys like an Otto Porter last year and even Nemanja Bjelica. And the hope is that Gary Payton can be one of those type of guys.
George Sedano with us here on Damon and Ratto. So obviously the Payton thing doesn't end the frustration this team felt over James Wiseman, because it's just like we've transferred a level of frustration from over here to a new level of frustration to this player who's essentially a doctor's note waiting to play himself. What's amazing to me, George, and maybe you know a little bit more about the inner workings of NBA teams, is that one team's group of medical professionals can look at a player and say, you know, a little toradol, and this guy can play tonight, while the other team's medicals basically say, here's a guy who needs to miss anywhere between, you know, 6 to 8 weeks. Like, those are radically different diagnoses looking at the same patient. It just feels like we got two different languages being spoken, and we should maybe start delivering power rankings to team doctors, because they hold the fate of NBA games right in the palm of their hand as much as GMs and coaches, if they can differ and have such radically different opinions on who can and cannot play.
Yeah, it's wild, right, that happened. I believe that the remedy for this, or a potential remedy, would be the league has to have independent doctors that also play a part in this, that aren't related to the two franchises. And that way you can determine physicals that way, too, that there needs to be a third party involved. And by the way, it's not foreign, because I can tell you that I covered a scenario with Chris Bosh when he was trying to get cleared with his blood clots, and there was an independent doctor that eventually sided with the Miami Heat in that it wasn't worth Chris Bosh's life, potentially, to clear him to play basketball, because he had found a doctor that was willing to clear him in that scenario. And, you know, after cooler heads prevailed, it took a while, but Chris eventually came to grips with that, and ultimately, him and the Miami Heat were fine after the fact, and they retired his jersey, et cetera, et cetera. But I do think that the league has some precedent in a scenario like that. I think that maybe that should just be the norm in regards to trades with injured players.
I don't want to get too far down this particular rabbit hole, because then you're starting to get into privacy rights of players, and does he have a say in who the independent physician would be? But I do want to ask this. Is this more a matter of general managers disagreeing on how to use a player than it is what the medicals find?
I mean, it's possible, Ray, but I would say that in the years I've covered the league, I just think that there are certain medical staffs that do things differently, too. And maybe that is at the behest of a general manager or a front office. I would like to think that's not the case, but perhaps you may be onto something. I don't know for sure.
George, what do you think of the moves, you know, around the West? I guess we'll start with the Clippers, because that's who the Warriors have tonight. You know, they bring in Bones Highland. They bring back Eric Gordon. Obviously, Kevin Durant is the bell of the free agent or a trading deadline ball once again, going to the Phoenix Suns. Quite a reshuffled, restacked Western Conference deck, don't you think?
Yeah, I like what the Clippers did. I like Highland. He's a bit of an emotional player. He's not hitting his shots. That can affect his game in a big way. I like bringing back Eric Gordon, just a veteran presence. And they kind of need that on that team. I feel like that's what they're lacking. We were talking about glue guys with the Warriors. And Plumlee's a good player. He's been fantastic the second half of the season. I do think they need a traditional point guard. I thought that maybe Kyle Lowry could fulfill that with his relationship with Kawhi, pardon me. I think maybe that's something they kick the tires on, perhaps in the offseason.
The rest of the conference, I mean, I don't know how you feel about this, but it does seem to me that New Orleans without Zion Williamson is not a play-in team. But are you surprised that the rest of the conference has remained as weirdly tight as it is, where really the only teams that have pulled away in either direction are Denver, Memphis, San Antonio, and Houston?
A bit, yes. Now, if I probably dove into it more, I'd probably figure that there's injury-related circumstances and things of that nature that have probably created a bigger gap in some of these cases. And also the offseason, right? Like, teams, they assume that they can let a guy go or bring in a guy and that it would work better than the previous guy. So chemistry plays a role in that too, I think. But I just think that the West, if we're being honest, is weaker than it's been. Or at least to start the season, it certainly was weaker than it was prior to the deadline, than it has been in many, many years. Prior to the deadline, I would say that the East was by far the better conference in regards to how many good teams there were. After the trade deadline, that's, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But I think that that's just it, just a lot of migration, and eventually that the pendulum had to swing in the East's favor in that regard.
Between, George, the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Warriors, who's your one man in? Who are your two men out?
I mean, the Lakers are running out of time, and I'm worried about Anthony Davis. He claims that he's over the... I just don't see a guy that has the same bounce he had prior to that injury. Now, maybe that's confirmation bias, because it's what I'm looking for. And then LeBron, this foot injury has been lingering for a while. In the games I've done, I've seen the training staff working on that foot constantly. And I just think that had they made these moves at the beginning of the season, then I think that they'd be a playoff or a play-in team for sure. I just don't know if they've got enough time to catch up. If I had to guess, the Warriors and Clippers are in, and I'd probably keep the Lakers out if you're making me pick one. Although I do think all three eventually do make in at least the play-in.
You're our Mr. All-LA Everything. Were you surprised at all to see the Sean McVay's coming back for one more bite of the Rams' apple at the very least?
I was not. I know Sean a little bit, and I just know how competitive he is. But I do know, because I've had these conversations with him on the air and off the air, about quality time available. And I think that Sean sees how guys before him have burnt out, and maybe how he's burnt out. And he's talked about this openly with me. I know he's done it on a podcast with Jay Glazer, too. So I don't think he's going to do it forever. I think he's got a hell of a career as a broadcaster if he wants it. But he's an incredible coach, and I didn't think he'd go out this way. They missed 98 games due to injury to starters, 13 different offensive line combinations, both the most in the league. So if they can just get any semblance of health, and we all know it's a battle of attrition, I think that they'll be at least competitive next year, if not more so than that.
Speaking of hell of a broadcaster, George Sedano, ladies and gentlemen, here on 95.7 The Game. Thanks a lot, pal.
You got it, guys. Anytime. Have a great show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.